The country. All I'm going to presume to do is to give you my perspective on gun culture and gun control, apropos some of the issues we discussed in terms of Columbine, in terms of Newtown, in terms of Douglas High School this past week. So the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos is dealing with Hotzah. Hotzah is something we've discussed extensively this year. The Melacha Grua that seems to get the most attention. So the Mishnah says the following, right? Obviously, you're allowed to wear your clothes. The question is, what integrates into your clothing and what's considered excessive and not really integrated? Lo yetza ish lo besayif, with a sword, velo bekeshet, that's, of course, a bow and arrow, velo betris, certain kind of shield, velo be'ala, a different kind of shield, velo beromach, a spear. Im yatza, that's an iser hotza, daraisa chayiv chatas, that's a position of the chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, there should be no chiyuv chatas, tachshitin hein lo, because these are tachshitim, these are ornaments. A person is allowed to go out in ornaments, a woman's allowed to wear a certain kind of jewelry, and men don't really have jewelry, but men have elements that create a kind of a sense of presence and an enhanced sense of beautification. V'chachamim omrim, einan elo l'ginai. These are not tachshitim, but it's a genai. It's something that does not reflect well on the person, that in fact, in a certain sense, is demeaning. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yeshayahu Hanavi, famous Pasuk, which describes the future, Yemos HaMashiach, when there won't be any war. V'chitetu charvosam le'itim v'chanisosehem le'mazmeros, that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Lo yisa goyel goy cherev. So you have a fundamental machlokas whether we should relate to weaponry, whether it's again a cherev or a chanis or a romach or an AK-47 or an AK, an AR-10 or an M-16. Is this a genai or is it a tachshit? This is a machlokas tanai. So the Gemara says, Reb Lazar Omer tachshitin hein lo. Tanya, Amru lo the Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, if they're really tachshitin, if this is something that we should be proud of, you want to show off all your weaponry, why would we get rid of them in Yemos HaMashiach, right? Because it says that we're not going to have any cherev or chanis. So Amr Lahan, lefi she'en unsrichen, right? Because they're not going to be necessary at that point. Shenemar lo yisa goyel goy cherev. So, you know, once we're not going to need them anymore, they're not going to have an ornamental status. The Chachamim say, I don't understand. If you're saying that they're ornamental, it shouldn't be dependent on their functionality, on their utility. Even if we're not going to need them anymore, if they're ornamental, if it right, looks good to be carrying an AR-10, an AK-47, so then, you know, why not carry it around even Bimos HaMashiach? But they have the noy bi'alma. So Amar Abaye explains, Lashitas Rabbi Yezer, Midi dahava shraga b'tihara. It's analogous to a candle aflame in the daytime. In other words, a candle at night is necessary and therefore also has a certain sense of beauty to it. It's something beautiful to see a candle burning in the night. But a candle during the daytime, because it's not at all necessary, because there's sunlight, it doesn't have that beautiful aspect to it. Ika da amri amrilo the Rabbi Eliezer, another view of the Gemara, where Rabbi Eliezer takes a more fundamental position. He says, we're not getting rid of them, Limos HaMashiach. That pasuk that's quoted in Yeshayahu is metaphorical. It's talking about the fact that there won't be any kind of wars anymore, but we'll continue to have this weaponry. Even if it's no longer functional, even if its utility is circumscribed, nonetheless, it still has an aesthetic component to it. So here you see different perspectives in the Gemara and the different perspectives in the Mishnah regarding, you know, whether or not there's some place for gun culture. Certainly the majority view was Einan Tachshitin, that these things are not things that a person should show off the way that you would a piece of artwork or a necklace or whatever it is, but on the contrary, it's something that is a genai. It may be necessary, right? It surely is necessary, but it's a necessary evil. It's something that we look forward to the day when we're no longer going to need it anymore. Moreover, I'm just going to go a little bit further, Ellie, and then I want to be able to take all your questions and comments about the sources that I want to expose you to this morning. The story of Pinchas, we're told, Vayakom mitocha edah, that after consultation, as the Gemara understands it, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Beis, after consultation with the Sanhedrin, that this was a situation of a Kanoi and Pogenbo, that because Zimri was publicly fornicating with Kuzbi, that this could be adjudicated in an extrajudicial and extra-legal manner through the process of actually killing Kuzbi and Zimri on the spot. So it says, Vayaku mitocha eda, he left the Sanhedrin, he left the Beit Midrash, and at that point, Vayikach romach biyado, he took the spear in his hand. So mikan, she'ein nichnasin b'chlei zayin lebeis ha-medrash, that you should ever bring a weapon of war into the Beit Midrash. So obviously, you know, for those of us who study the Yeshiva Hesder in Israel, you know, when it's a sakanas nefashos, so this halacha is suspended as well. You know, we learn next to people who are carrying M16s because anybody could come in at any moment. But in principle, the Beit Midrash, a place of learning, a place of study, should not be a place where there's weaponry. So again, the discussion that we're having about, you know, should educational institutions should be a place of, you know, where there's concealed carry, where there's, you know, weaponry all around. So it's absolutely necessary, so then it's absolutely necessary. But the ideal, which was projected by the Gemara, is ein nichnasin b'chlei zayin lebeis ha-medrash, that where the Shekhinah is found in the beis ha-medrash, there shouldn't be chlei zayin. The Meiri, in his rendering of that Gemara, says le'olam ein nichnasin b'chlei zayin lebeis ha-medrash. A very strong formulation. Almost sounds like under no circumstances. Hard to believe the Meiri would carry that through to sakanas nefashos, but it all seems to be based on the beis ha-mikdash itself. Because as we know, there's an element in the beis ha-mikdash that again relates to the idea that a chlei zayin, a weapon of war, does not have a place in the Beis HaMikdash. Where is that, of course? When it comes to the Mizbeach, where we're told, Avanim Shlemos Tivnes Mizbach HaShem Lokecha, that you should build it with complete stones, Lo Tivneh Eshen Gazis, that you cannot build the Mizbeach, which is supposed to create Shalom in the world, with stones that have been hewn, that have literally been cut. Now, it's interesting, Ki Charbecha Heinachalav Tzachala, I'm going to read you from the Mechilta, then I'll read you a Rambam. We'll pause to take some questions. The Mechilta says, "Char b'cha heinaf t'tani Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer hamizbeach nivra laharich shnosav shel adam." The mizbeach is life affirming in its functionality. V'habarzel lakatzer, an iron, of course, weapons of war, those shorten people's lifespans. Lefikach, therefore, eno rashay lahanif hamikatzer lamarich. Right, it's oil and water; they simply can't go together. And I think the idea of Chlei Zayin B'Beis HaMedrash is a very similar idea as well, in addition to the notion that a place which is a place for Hashras HaShechina is perhaps not a place for weaponry. Let's not forget that David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash entirely, right, as he was told, Ish Mechamos Ata B'damim Rabim Shafachta, that his history as somebody who had made war was a major part of the reason that he wasn't able to participate in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Aleph tells us that it's not only that if the stone was actually fully cut with iron, with barzel, but he goes even further, Kol Evan Shenaga Baha Barzel, even if it simply touched iron, there was just a touch. Aval Pi Shelo Nifgama Psula Lebinyan haMizbeach, Lebinyan haKevesh. Not only for the Mizbeach itself, but for the ramp up to the Mizbeach. Shenemar, Ki Charbecha Heinachta Aleh Vatzachal Aleha, that you've desecrated the Mizbeach, and not just the Mizbeach per se, but the Kevesh, the ramp that leads up to it. Is that as you're, so to speak, Malin Bakodesh, as you're ascending to the Mizbeach, right? There can't be any sense of war, of weaponry, that it's completely incompatible with the message of the Mizbech. So let's pause here for just a second, take some questions. Then I want to go a little bit further in terms of you know, guns for home defense and guns that are kept around. And this might touch on another halachic issue. Just to this point, again, the reason I wanted to show you the sheet of the Chachamim, that Genai Hulo, is that the idea of gun culture, I think, is relatively foreign to the halachic mentality. Certainly when it comes to our places of study, the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaMikdash, there's a special sensitivity, all else being equal, to not having weaponry of war represented there. So these are things that I wanted you to be exposed to. Now I want to get down a little bit more to brass tacks in terms of how this translates in terms of guns for home defense, etc. Let's pause here and take some questions. Rambam will tell us that Enosin Melchama Im Shumadim Ba'olam Achekorin Lo L'Shalom T'chila. Shalom is associated with Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'yaseim L'cha Shalom. It's the ultimate in all of the brachos. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so milchama itself is something which is never an ideal. We always want to search for other solutions. And even when it's a last resort that we have to go to, let's say we're under attack, etc., Ezra Sisrael Miyad Sar Shabaleh, and for the Rambam is a Mechames Mitzvah, nonetheless, we see it as a necessary evil. We prosecute the war with extreme prejudice, without any hesitation in terms of our actual conduct of the war, but with great hesitation and trepidation in terms of entry into battle itself. Gee. A little bit of background in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. I'm not sure where you guys are right now. Ellie, go ahead. So, just to give you a little bit of background, I don't know where you guys right now are in Sefer Dvarim, but right after the Shiluach HaKen, so the Torah says that you could have a house, Ki Tivneh Bayit Chadash, V'asita Ma'akela Gagecha, that you have to build a fence around, V'lo Tasim Damim B'Veitecha, that you shouldn't have any blood associated with your household, Ki Pol HaNofel Mimenu, that somebody might fall off and come to die. So I wanted to deal with what is this mitzvah of V'asita Maka L'Gagecha as a mitzvah saseh, and then there's an associated lo saseh when it comes to V'lo Tasim Damim B'Veisecha. So obviously it deals with the roof, but it can be understood much more broadly. So the Rambam says the following in the sixth source. Noam, why don't you read it for us? Mitzvah saseh l'aso sada maka l'gago shenemar V'asita Maka L'Gagecha V'hu sheya. It's a base dira. It's a place of residence. Right. If you don't actually live there, eino zakuklo. You don't need it to. Because it says lo sasim damim beveisecha. Right. Kisiv nebayis chadash beveisecha. It's a base dira. It's where you live. It's just like the halachos of mezuzah in that respect. V'cholbayis shein bo arba amos al arba amos pater midamake. The same way that it would be pater from mezuzah. Now the Ravid here jumps in. Amar Avraham. Bisifrei marbes kulan lemake ve'enu memayit ala beishar ve'achsadro mirpeses. That, interestingly, the Ravid says that the hakeif, the scope of make, is broader than the scope of mezuzah. That even if you don't live there, but somebody may find themselves there working because it's a storage facility, whatever it is, so you need a make there too. Okay, interesting machokas here between the Rambam and the Ravid as to what the scope of make is. Then the Rambam goes on to say, Echad Hagag. We're not really limiting this to a roof, but go ahead. Ve'echad. Anything dangerous. Ve'roi she'ikashol bo adam, that could lead to a stumbling block. Somebody, right, may stumble over it. Ve'yamos, and it'll cause a loss of life. So it's not only, the Torah gave the most common example, that people falling off a roof, but it's really anything in your house that could be a danger, that could represent a lethal danger to somebody, that's possibly the Issa D'Oraisa of Lo Tasim Damim Veisecha. Kigon, it gives examples. Right, you have a be'er, a well. What could happen to a well? Yoni, somebody fall down the well. Whether there's water in there or there isn't water in there. Chayav lasos lahen. Chulia gevoa asarat tvachim. Asarat tvachim in halacha is a din of mechitza. Remember, we saw asarat tvachim ving in which context earlier this year? Asarat tvachim is the, to define the walls, Yaakov, of the Rishos Hayachid, right? So any mechitza has to be asarat tvachim. So a person who owes a pool, Shai is chayiv midaraisa to have a fence. Chayiv midaraisa to have a fence, okay? Okay, so now we've talked about anything that somebody could fall into. Ki yipol hanofel mimenu. But it's not only things that you could fall into, but go ahead, Noam. Chol michshol, sheyesh bo sakanas nefashos. Anything that could possibly take a life, i.e. a gun. Firearm. The mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, to remove it, to be very careful. Lihizayar b'davar yafe yafe, to be extraordinarily careful about the presence of this lethal object. Shene Amar, as the pasuk says, Hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha. V'im lo heser, if you don't remove it. V'eniach hamichsholos, and you allow these lethal objects to be around your home. Hamivin lidei sakana. Bitel mitzvahs asei. So you've been mevatel the mitzvahs asei of asisa makela gagecha, of taking the precautions. V'avar, and you already violated al lo tasim damim beveisacha. You've already violated the law. This is before anybody gets hurt. You're already in violation of the law. So one last question that I want to ask, then we'll go to Shai. One last question. The Rambam seems to have language that, if not redundant, is mutually exclusive. It says, mitzvahs asei, A, lahasiro, to remove it. Two, lihishamir mimenu. Three, lizar bedavar yafe yafe, to be very careful about it. So I don't understand. If it's lahasiro, if it's to remove it, what are you talking about, you know, to be lizar mimenu yafe yafe? It's already gone. So I think what the Rambam is alluding to is that there are different situations. Sometimes you should get rid of it entirely, if there's no need for it. If there's no indication that this is beneficial to home defense. If this is in fact dangerous, then the mitzvah saseh is to get rid of it, and the lo saseh is to leave it around. If there's some benefit, but it could be dangerous, let's say there's no police department around, so you need a gun for your own home defense, so then you have to be very careful. Lishamri menel yizar v'davar, yafe yafe. You have a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, and the lo saseh, lo sasim damim v'esecha, to make sure that it's kept under lock. You know, as the Israeli army says, when you bring your if you're given a leave from the army, you bring your gun home. So what's the halach on the Israeli army? You have to take it into part in two different pieces and lock it in two different places. That's lizar, menu yafe yafe. And still things can happen. So again, you know, what's absolutely clear is the idea of if you're going to possess a firearm in your own house, then the mitzvah saseh of v'asisa makel gagecha, the lo saseh, lo sasim damim v'esecha, is activated. And at minimum, it's lizar mimenu yafe yafe. It may even be lahasiro. If you don't have evidence to suggest that this is actually beneficial to your home defense, but could only be a danger to your family, then the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa is lahasiro. And if you can establish that there is some benefit, so then the mitzvah saseh, in my view, becomes lishamer mimenu lizar bedavar yafe. Yafe. Okay, let's take as many. That's a point that I really wanted to emphasize, that so much depends on what is the empirical data. In other words, if you're going to make the argument that this is something that you absolutely need to have, then, you know, as the saying goes, everybody's entitled to an opinion, but you're not entitled to your own set of facts. And halacha responds not to opinions, but to facts. You have to be able to demonstrate that this is truly necessary through, you know, very careful study. You know, so again, in the same way that halacha takes into account medical reality, if a person says, you know, a doctor is saying that, you know, this person has a cold, I don't think they should fast on Yom Kippur, that's not something the halacha would take. The halacha has great respect for medical expertise, but it doesn't have respect for medical nonsense. So the same thing is true when it comes to any halacha. It takes into account what are the actual statistics? What do we know about this? And that's why you have to draw distinctions between having an AR-10. And we talked about this the other day. You know, it's one thing to have a handgun. When you talk about a situation of home defense, so most of the time you're dealing with a situation where you hear a burglar downstairs, right? And immediately you know you're running to your kids. So you're not going to have time to, you know, set up a surface-to-air missile, right? You're talking about seconds. So you need something that's extremely accessible, that can be loaded in a minute if you think that you're going to need to defend your family, right? Because they're going to be using lethal force against your family. Now, many will tell you the best thing to do is not to confront them with a gun, right? Not to let the situation escalate. They'll take whatever they take, okay? But you can debate that point. But every police officer will tell you, if you're going to use a semi-automatic assault rifle, right, and God forbid your child is on the other side of the wall, then that's crazy, right? You just, you know, look at the wall. Then the bullets are going to go through the wall. So yeah, that's where you have to draw distinctions and really know the facts about what it is that you're dealing with. And just to say, you know, it's absolutely necessary without an empirical basis for saying it, it would violate the halacha. Now, again, if you can demonstrate there's no other way I can defend my home, the closest police department, you know, let's say you live in rural Montana, is, you know, 100 miles away, and you know, there's been crime, and there have been home invasions, and there's been violence, and I need to defend my family. So then you have to do a lot of research as to, A, what's the most appropriate way to defend your family? You know, should you be there? Right? Maybe you should move. Right? And if you decide, no, I have to be here, so then what's the lizar bedaver yafa yafa? What is the halacha require of you? So, again, you know, if you're going to say, you know, the only weapon for me to have self-defense is I want, you know, anti-aircraft missiles, you know, the halacha is not going to look favorably upon that. You're going to start firing anti-aircraft missiles in your home. So, you know, again, you have to have some empirical basis. Ellie, back to you.
Doesn't Gemara say that you're not supposed to live in a city that doesn't have a police force? Or that?
In general, we want people to live in places that where there's Torah education, where there's certain basic infrastructure. The Rambam deals with this in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Again, you know, if you feel that you're in a situation where there's a home invasion that's possible at any minute, maybe the thing to do is to leave that situation, as opposed to, you know, entering into even more dangerous situation in terms of, you know, having to have lethal objects in your own home.